Good morning. This is Jan Hawken here with Mike Snitaker this morning, our Left in the Law segment for the month. And we're talking about the caravan of Central American refugees that arrived last month from a long journey, mostly from Honduras, arriving in Tijuana, the border with the USA, and presenting themselves for asylum. The caravan began with support from international refugee organizations, and beginning with about 1,500 people and 200 arrived and are now being processed by the U.S. government as asylum seekers. The Trump administration has issued a what they call a zero-tolerance policy for people entering the country illegally, although international law, including the U.S., does allow for the rights of people as refugees to apply for asylum when they enter a country, including the U.S. So, Mike, tell us about the situation there and what's new under Trump's demonstrably more straightforwardly vicious, hostile, and racist policies versus earlier eras, the Obama administration, and the situation in the 1980s where this was more in the news.
Well, there's not a whole lot that's new, Jan. During the Obama years, there was serious efforts made in 2014 to hinder people from making applications for asylum. Now, the right to apply for asylum is really well settled from laws in 1951 and 1967. The Code of Federal Regulations allows anybody with a well-founded fear of persecution in their home country to present an application for asylum.
And although the evidence that needs to be assembled and presented and how that evidence is evaluated shifts over time and from country to country. Like Canada is much more flexible. What kind of a story you have, how severe, how many witnesses and so on. And most refugees in a situation are not able to put these kinds of materials together. So in some ways, isn't it a theoretical right that has limits in practice?
Well, it's a very real right, very practical right. There are thousands of people in this country now because of it. But, of course, it varies widely according to the politics of the moment. The early 80s were every bit as bad as the law is now. And the people in the Reagan years, when it was hotly contested over battles in El Salvador and Nicaragua, there was intense opposition in this country to our policies there. There were directions from the State Department and from the Department of Justice to hinder people in every way possible from making any applications, and statements from the State Department saying that all these people are economic refugees.
And economic refugees don't meet the criteria for asylum, even though that's a whole other topic, the rights of people come here under conditions of less immediate threat of death or suffering. But this is a situation in Honduras. Can you say something about why so many of these asylum seekers are from Honduras?
Well, that's what you'll never hear from anyone in the Trump administration, is the realities of life in Honduras right now. There was a coup in 2009, strongly supported by Hillary Clinton and by the State Department, that got rid of a lawfully elected president of Honduras. Since then, the economy has deteriorated rapidly. Tourism has plummeted. There's a dictator now who just recently replaced four Supreme Court justices because they struck down a policy he liked. We have sent back to Honduras gang members or members of the Mara Salvatrucha or MS-13, the 18th Street Gang. These are people who were created here. They were returned in large numbers to Honduras, where there's no economy, no jobs available at all. They're now surviving with extortions in neighborhoods, kidnappings, and any efforts to oppose the existing regime, and particularly most recently the elections in November of 2017, are met with violence. Police are likely to shoot you in the head if you demonstrate, as they are to respond in any other way. So you've got a decayed society with people in tremendous danger everywhere. People with children being recruited, and certain neighborhoods have been essentially abandoned because storekeepers simply can't make it with the extortionate practices that prevail everywhere. So people are trying to get out, trying to stay alive. Those people are the kind of people that make up the caravans that's coming to this country.
But the two get mixed together, right? And so that building a deeper, wider moat around the castle has some basis in the fear of the dangerous places in the world that the U.S. is deeply implicated in, you're saying, in the troubles there and people fleeing those troubles. But do the two get fused around the politics of fear and that people coming from scary places are going to bring their scary problems like these gangs? You say there was this history of these gangs
they
that
were created
are
in
tough.
Los Angeles.
How were they created in Los Angeles?
There were large numbers of people who were allowed in this country from Honduras under temporary status, which is a whole other topic because Trump is about to require a couple of 100,000 Hondurans to return to Honduras next year. But there were large numbers of people who arrived here, had no real place to fit in, became parts of street gangs in L.A., and then were exported en masse back to the countries in which they came. Singled out, separated from their families, like the young males were sent back by the boatload to Honduras and El Salvador. They didn't just evaporate or go away.
And they're not just, as Trump would say, bad dudes. There are histories that are carried through these gangs of abandonment and ways that all of these displacements produce a kind of unruly lawlessness. But the U.S. along the way has contributed to bringing trouble in and sending it back to Honduras.
Well, what's happened at the border is that during the Obama years, various ideas were implemented in order to keep people from applying at all. And that's an area where district court judges and federal courts have been pretty decent. There have been good decisions striking down efforts like, for example, the effort to pay Mexico or have Mexico stop everyone from getting to the border, or detaining people in this country for the purpose of deterring other people to come. Or with the most dramatic example was the Haitian boat people. There were efforts to have them blocked from being able to apply for asylum. The courts said, well, you can't do that. They have to be allowed. There's no way to distinguish them from anyone, any other person, from presenting a claim that they have a well-founded fear of persecution if they were to be returned.
So how is the Trump administration and Jeff Sessions trying to make life harder now for those asylum seekers applying for asylum in the U.S.?
Well, they have a couple of strategies. One is the bad dude strategy, but Mike Pence is blaming it all on rotten immigration lawyers and scheming media. He's saying that those people are to be pitied, all those people in the caravan. The real enemies here are is the media in this country and agenda-driven media members and political hacks who are trying to exploit all these people.
Well, so, that must mean there's some protest going on around it and some support. So what's happening on that front? That's what that usually means.
Well, there are. There's a group called Pueblo Sin Fronteras, which support people without frontiers who are helping people in every way they can. There are lots of attorneys and groups on the ground who work on both sides of the border in Tijuana and San Diego.
And there was quite a presence of support at the border around that wall that is becoming real as it's erected, but also a symbol of a whole state of mind, a reactionary state of mind. But apparently there are some wonderful images of that online.
Yeah, they're trying various ways. One is to just completely bog down the whole asylum process. Mm-hmm. And what people then do is enter the country illegally and present themselves to the Border Patrol rather than in the appropriate pre-established ways of presenting their claims. It used to be that would work more or less because your asylum claim would be considered before any criminal charge of illegal entry. But now Sessions has reversed that. And with his detention policy, he's pretty direct in saying that we hope to, by implementing this family separation policy, to have a zero tolerance policy for any sort of illegal activity to discourage people from crossing the border and to discourage people from making an application for asylum.
Yeah, I always like that line, some famous song, we're all illegal versus we're all legal, that we've all illegally entered somewhere, and the whole question of what's legal and what's not for border crossers is brought to the fore here as the Trump administration plays so recklessly with that idea. So in closing, anything more you want to say before we'll continue following the asylum seekers next month? Anything you'd like to add and where people can follow this? I know you have colleagues who are working as attorneys with asylum seekers, and it's an important form of work.
Well, there will be continued struggles on the border, and legally it's a big battle because you do have to make a detailed showing of your own subjective feelings and the objective realities back where you come from. And if you're not a member of a minority, you've got to show that you are in particular are in danger. And the amount of documents required varies from judge to judge. And like the law in general or criminal law, it's wildly different from according to which judge is going to consider your case. Uh-huh.
And most don't have an attorney representing them. So there's that difference reflected there as well. Okay, so we will continue, and hopefully more focus on the activism and solidarity around support for the asylum seekers at the border. It's Jan Hocken and Mike Snedeker today talking about border politics.